activity. Hit the button.
Okay, so as we know, the series is about just keeping things in priority and in perspective and not putting some of the earthly things in our life, their wants and our desires, placing that before God and worshiping and honoring Him. And as women, most of us at some point in our life, not all, because I do know a few, but most of us at some point in our life desire to have children and raise a family. And it's not wrong to want these things. Make that very clear. It's not wrong to want these things. It's just that when our focus shifts from loving our husbands, being the wife and the godly woman that we are, and serving God, to focusing solely on getting pregnant and having those children, that's where the problem comes in. Or when having children become more important in our life than, again, serving God and being that godly wife and being in subjection to our husband. Let's look at Rachel. Genesis 29. Verse 30. Sharon, can you read that for us?
And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years.
Okay, so this puts Jacob working for Laban for 14 years. That's a long time to work for a woman. I've never pursued a man that long, and I know it didn't take 14 years to pursue Craig, and I know it didn't take him 14 years to pursue Dawn, but can you imagine being in love with someone for 14 years before you can even date her, or have her, or have him? And he loves her more than Leah. And Leah kept giving Jacob sons, kept giving children, along with the bond slaves, the women slaves. Is that what they're called?
Handmaidens.
Handmaidens. Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Actually, Dawn, he only worked 7 years. He got her, and then he had to work another 7 years.
Yeah.
So Steve always called us the layaway and the payoff plan. She was in layaway for 7 years, and then the night he was supposed to get her, he got Leah.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to fulfill her 2 weeks, and then he got Rachel. So he got two wives in a very short period of time. But he still had to work another 7 years to finish paying off. He said he would work another 7 years, but he did go ahead and get her.
Okay. I misunderstood that then.
Yeah. He had to work. No, verse 27, complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also. For the service you have served, you shall serve with me for another 7 years. Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. So within 2 weeks' time, he got two wives.
Okay, I misunderstood reading that then. Thank you for clarifying that for me. But still, 14 years. That's a long time. For 7 years is a long time. Yet, between Leah and the two handmaidens, having children, Rachel still had none. In chapter 30 and verse 1, Ms. Pat, will you read that?
Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister, and she said to Jacob, give me children or else I die.
Okay. When I read that, I think about Rachel's attitude during this time. Just out of curiosity, I did not do the research, but maybe someone knows off the top of their head. Do we know how many years passed between marrying Rachel and this point?
Well, it had to be long enough for three children to be born. She had, Leah had had Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. So she'd already had three children. So I don't know how long in between the children, but it takes 9 months to have a child. So
we're talking a couple of years.
I would say no less than 3 years because of the weaning. You know, you have to, I don't know. I would say no less than two and probably a minimum of 3 months. I don't know.
I've read in the these days that most of the time women breastfed until 3 years of age, and so a lot of times their children were three years apart. And I don't know if that's the case here, but because of the breastfeeding, they say that a lot of times they were 3 years apart this time. Oh, the breastfeeding keeps you from getting pregnant for a while. I don't know how long it would be effective. It doesn't always work, but
I'm not thinking of anyone who were had babies less than almost a year apart and they're breastfeeding. Yeah. That can happen, I guess, but
interesting information. let's talk about Rachel's attitude during this time. Tell me what some of y'all thought her attitude might have been during this time.
The New King James uses envy, where the other one uses jealousy. Mm-hmm. And when I think of envy, I think of Saul, King Saul, and all the things that he did because of his jealousy and envy. And that just, to me, that adds a little bit more richer to what was going on mm-hmm. here.
Anybody else? Do you think she was angry?
Well, she said, give me this, I'm
going to
die.
I thought she was a little demanding.
Demanding. I think in verse 2, and it clearly states kind of how, you know, her attitude with the jealousy, the envy, the anger, the demanding, things we've just listed, kind of how that affected her relationship with Jacob. Because if we're that way, I can imagine how it affects our relationship with our husband as well. And just with his comment and his stating. In verse 1, when she states to Jacob, give me children or else I die. It's like, this is all your fault. I can't get pregnant. This is all your fault. To me, that's the way I'd look at that.
One comment about the time in which this took. In chapter 31, verse 41, when Jacob fled, he said, these 20 years I have been in your house. I served 14 for your two daughters and 6 for your flock. So all of these children, all was only by 4 women, but all of these children were born and had some age on them when he left in 13 years after he married these two women. So all of these children were born within 13 years, and the boys were the ages of the older boys, you know, he separated them out, and so there couldn't have been too much time between all of these children to have had 13 kids, because if she had the first 3, and then that's when Rachel finally gave the handmaid to him, and I started this back and forth with all of that, and she finally had Joseph and Benjamin. So all of this happened within 13 years. Just a reference for your title.
Thank you. You okay back there? So back to her attitude and how kind of this is affecting her and Jacob. That's when she says, give me children, and she's saying this to Jacob, like, this is his fault. Give me children or else I die. You know, I have to have kids. For some reason, I have to have kids. And that's a want and a desire that we all have. What's Jacob's response in
verse 2. Miss Pat.
Am I God? Am I in God's place? This is God's doing, not mine.
And he recognized that.
Evidently, there's nothing wrong with Jacob.
Right. Yeah, no. He's got kids. Not wrong with him.
No. It's not his problem. It's her problem.
Right.
And for her to be blaming him, that...
Exactly. You know, and then his statement was, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of your womb? And Rachel was so consumed with her desire to have children that she no longer cared how hard he, you know, that Jacob loved her more than Leah and how hard he worked for her just to get her and to have her. And everything that he had gone through for the 14, that she was no longer thinking that. It was all encompassing and having these kids and having these babies. And she's not the only one. You know, I was thinking this morning, getting ready, with Abraham, it's like we're trying to do God's work for him with between Isaac and Ishmael. How?
Sarah.
Yes. Thank you. That, you know, gave the handmaiden, and that's where Ishmael comes from, instead of letting God do his thing, keeping his promise, and then along comes Isaac. You were getting ready to make a comment. No? Okay. Looked like you were. And so it's at that point that we start taking our wants and our desires and trying to do God's job for him instead of letting him plan out our life with the plan that he has for us. I want everybody to think back to 5 years ago. Is there something, whether it's tangible, something you could hold, touch, buy, whatever, that you wanted back then? Do you still want it now? If you don't already currently have it. What about 10 years ago? Is there something that you wanted 10 years ago? Do you have it now? Do you still want it? And then back to 14. This was, I kept thinking about this. I don't know that I can honestly say that there's something that I wanted so badly 5, 10 years ago that drove me to still want it today. I guess my ADD kicked in and I forgot all about it. But that was Jacob. He kept working for 7 years because he wanted her so badly. He loved her that much. I look at relationships like Amy and Jamie, how long they dated before they got married. And that to me is just, it's amazing, it's astounding, because you don't have those relationships these days. They're very far and few between, to me, I see. You know, they get tired of waiting and off comes something else. But that wasn't the situation between Jacob and Rachel. And her desire replaced her desire over... became stronger than what she had with Jacob, I think.
The thing is, so I have to remember then, maybe somebody in the class remembers, but I don't ever remember it talking about Rachel's love for Jacob. Back then, these women, they weren't in the situation we are today, where we pick our mate and we decide who we're going to marry. They were told pretty much. Now, when Rebecca went, she was asked, because she wanted to go and become Isaac's wife. But Laban, I mean, it may have, and I just don't remember it, but, you know, yeah, she was going to be Jacob's wife, but Now, I don't ever remember reading that she loved him as greatly as he loved her. He loved her greatly. But, and I don't know how much her love was. And that was her lot in life. She knew this was going to be her husband. But she was never a very godly woman. She's the one who stole my idols when they left.
Right.
And so I think sometimes we assume because Jacob was a good man and he loved Rachel that she was a good woman and had the same values and everything he did. But in the reading, I don't get that.
That's a good point.
Because she, you know,
I think about
she
that
was
way.
Jealous of her sister. And when they left, she took, why should I leave everything? So she took the household idols. Evidently, they were valuable. Had some value, whether it was for her religion or monetarily or whatever. And it wasn't like Jacob was a poor man, he was poor. But she, you know, she took that and then she lied about it. So I guess she was pregnant with Benjamin when they left because that was why she wouldn't get off of the camel, you know, get off of her when she had a kid.
You know, I've always heard Steve say that, and I don't understand it. How do you know she wouldn't have been married?
Doesn't it say after that he was born? Doesn't he his firstborn all that? They were still on the journey when he was born, and he died, I thought.
And he died?
When she died. She died in childbirth.
Okay.
Okay.
I was like,
yeah,
I wonder
that.
Just a bit
of that. If a woman's pregnant, she's a child or whatever, when it's talking about her, it says the way of the women.
Where are you reading?
It's in chapter 31. Oh, verse 35. Let it not displease my Lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me.
Is it, and mine is upon me.
Mine says, don't be angry, my Lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I having my period.
What word is that?
NIV.
Oh, I've heard that one. There's proof right there.
But see in verse 30, chapter 32, verse 22, they arose the same night, took his two wives, two maids, and his 11 children across the ford of Jabbok. And this is at the same time when he's left.
No, he went on his way, verse 32, verse 1, I mean, chapter 32, verse 1, and, you know, the angels met him.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the same journey. But,
oh, yeah.
But how much time has passed?
It's before, I don't know, but it's before he meets Esau. And verse 13, so he spent the night there. And then, verse 21, he passed that night. So he passed all before him while he himself spent the night, and that night in the camp. And he arose that same night and took his two wives. And it's amazing. So it seems like this is all in a short period of time that he's on this journey. And then he only has 11 children at this point. Chapter 31, verse 54, spent the night in the mountain. Early in the morning, Laban arose, kissed him, and left. And Jacob went on his way. Doesn't say how far, how long. But it's all in this. He still hadn't gotten to where he was going. Of course, I don't know how long it took them.
It says he came to the city of Shechem, pitched his tent. Verse 33, chapter 33, 18. Bought land. And then verse 30, chapter 35, he returns to Shechem.
Okay. It could be. I don't know.
It just seems, it depends obviously on how long the journey is, but I thought the line was good.
It would be nice if I could time frames in this. That's one of those things that men are writing. We want more information. So it could be either way. But when he left, he only had 11 children, so I guess I just assumed she was pregnant. She could have gotten pregnant on the journey. I have no idea how long it is. I don't know any place that tells us how long his journey took before he got back. And he's, you know, he got back and forth father all the time.
So women were considered unclean when they were pregnant? I knew about the period, but I didn't realize they were no one could touch them the whole time they were pregnant.
Yeah, pregnant. Oh, I don't know about them being in. But see, that was a Jewish thing. Because of the Jewish law. That was something that God instituted. I don't know that other nations observed those. I don't know if other nations observe those things. Okay, that was just
interesting. I thought that it's interesting that her having a child was so important, but then it wasn't even important enough for God to mention that she conceived it. Yeah. So we don't know when she conceived because
right.
He didn't even mention it.
Right. That is a good contrast. Yes, exactly. That is good. I did a Google search. You know, the internet sometimes can be a bad thing. I did a Google search because I know that there are women these days who, and I was one of them, and that having a baby was very important to me. And so I did a Google search doing my lesson for this and on fertility books, all the different fertility books that you can get to do God's job for him. And it came back 12.6 million results just on fertility books. And, you know, as women, some of us, we will try just about anything to get pregnant. We will read all kinds of how-to books. That's great. I love it. How to get pregnant. Spend insane amounts of money. Inject all kinds of hormones that make us insane. Leaving our loved ones questioning our sanity and asking, is it even worth it? During this whole time you're doing all of this. I was one of those women. And Craig was asking me, is it even worth it? Why do you want one so bad? He asked me that point blank. Why do you want one so bad? I couldn't answer him. It was just, as growing up, I was going to have 3 kids. I had 1. I had 2 more to go. I just had to. And trying to explain that to him, I just couldn't do it. That was in my plan. That's what I had planned for my entire life. I. And during that time, I was Rachel. I really was. I had spent so much time probably doing more harm to my body and at the same time probably harm to my marriage. I know it was a strain on us. And when my body couldn't take any more, you start contemplating all the other different ways to have a baby. I had 3 different women voluntarily offer to carry one for me. And one of those being my 55-year-old stepmother. She had gone to the doctor and had herself checked out to see if she could still carry a baby. And then approached me about it. And I contemplated it. I talked to Craig about it. And it was just like, why? Why are we doing this? And I can go on and on and on the different things that I contemplated. But then I had to stop and think. Was I putting all my trust in myself, in modern medical doctors, more than trusting in God and his love for me and knowing what's best for me and his plan for me? Okay, I accepted having another one by birth. That wasn't going to happen. But I still needed to have more kids. That was my plan. So here we go with CPS. And I put all of, we, because it wasn't just me. I talked Craig into it. He was along for the ride. And we put all of our trust in the CPS system, doing everything they told us to do, We jump through all kinds of hoops, including how we discipline Dylan. Let's go to Jeremiah 17, 5, verse 8.
Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and his heart turns away from the Lord, for he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitants. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit.
I want to focus on the first part of that. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitants. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. A year and a half frustration dealing with CPS and jumping through all the hoops that they made us jump through, and Dylan's wrong behavior becoming the norm instead of the abnormal because of their rules on how to and not to discipline. Greg and I were coming home from another meeting with CPS, and it was at that time that Peter and the other apostles' response in Acts 5, verse 29 came screaming back in my head when they were telling us what not to do again. And how to raise our son. Yes. When Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And that's when we decided to put a stop to everything. God had a plan for us. We needed to accept it. And there was a reason for it. We didn't know what it was. But it was at that point that I was, during that time, I was Rachel. Give me children. I need children. Have we ever been in that situation? Maybe it's not children. Maybe it's something else. Have we ever made Rachel's statement regarding a desire that we've had? Give me blank. Or else I'm going to die. Does God's dealings with Rachel and Leah comfort or encourage you? That's a question. Does God's dealings with Rachel and Leah, do they comfort or encourage you? And if so, how? And if they don't, explain.
Both comfort and encourage. It comforts from the standpoint of when Rachel was suffering, God recognized that, and he finally opened her womb. But he also saw Leah suffering, and he blessed her. And so it's encouraging to know that God sees. He knows. The first three children, the way she named them, shows that she knew that God cared and God was in control. So I feel both.
Don, I guess back then, those women back then, they must feel like children made them women, They just had to give their husband a child, or the husband going to go somewhere else. That's how, when I'm reading, that's how it just makes It's just children made them feel like women. If they didn't bear no kids for their husband, then
they were broke.
Yeah, they
Something
wasn't.
Something was wrong with
them. Yeah. So, you know, and to me back there, it don't seem like there was any love. It was just, I mean, you know. And what I, when I was reading this in 29, Genesis 29, Jacob, Laban was Jacob's uncle, because that was his mother's brother. Am I right, ladies? That was Jacob, Laban was Jacob's mother's brother. So that means that Jacob, although maybe incest, I mean, whatever was, it wasn't, anyway, it seemed like he was marrying his cousins.
Yeah. Well, Abraham was married to his half sister.
Mm-hmm. So, you
so
know.
Back then they did
those things. Yeah,
they did. Popular somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It only started out with one man and one woman.
So they had to keep it in the family. You know, don't go. And one more thing, you know, the ladies said that they didn't seem like Rachel loved Jacob. Well, she probably didn't, because she was the youngest of Leah. So that means that, you know, she was probably jealous of her. But see, Jacob liked Rachel because Rachel was prettier than Leah. In Genesis, I think it's 29. No, yeah, it's 29. Because when he saw Rachel, that she was pretty. But, let's see, where is it? Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So Jacob was looking on the outside anyway. He wasn't really looking in the heart. He was just saying, hey, she's pretty, you know. Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting out of that, whether Rachel loved Jacob or not.
Right.
But, you know, she was the youngest of Leah. That's why she was jealous, because Leah was having the babies, and she just wanted, because she just wanted children. I mean, it was just, to me, it was just sex back off. Sex back in them days, but they had to have kids, so that's what made a woman, I guess, back in them days. But nowadays,
and sometimes it's not just back in them days either.
Yeah, you know, and it's today too. Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, I know women wants to, but you know, hey, we can spend a lot of money trying to have kids. If it's not what the Lord say, well, it's just not going to happen.
Well, and that's, you know, that was kind of, you know, back to the point here a little bit. We need to realize that we are not in control, mm-hmm. and to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us.
That's right.
During all of that time, I had forgotten about the prosperity that I did have. You know, I have great kids. And now, and then, once we got our mind right, you know, we realized that. We also knew that we had put all of our hope and trust and faith in man instead of focusing on God and the guide that He has given us to run our marriage and raise our family and to raise the amazing son that He did give us. We had stopped thanking Him for what we had been blessed with. And we were asking for more. Now, whether it's 1, 2, 6, or no children, you know, our life on this earth, the family that we have, and the sisters in Christ that we have to share it with, these are all daily gifts that we need to be thankful for. And I'm not saying in any way that it's wrong to seek medical help to have children. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wrong to adopt 1, 2, or 10 children that need good, loving Christian homes. We all know amazing people that have done just that, and I'm very honored to know them, that they have opened their heart and their home and fallen in love with these children who meet them. What I am saying is that when we try to take over God's will for us and try to do His job for Him, tell Him how to do His job, and stop listening to the possible answers that He is giving to our prayers. And that's when we, Craig and I, had to stop and listen. We were praying, and He was answering. We just hadn't hushed up long enough to listen to His answers. Is that when we do all of that, when we stop listening, we stop doing His will and the way He wants us to do things, that's where the idol starts creeping in. And we replace Him with our own wants and desires again. Any other comments?
I think we do consider children, as God and women, we do consider children a gift from God. And in the Old Testament, at least under the Jewish dispensation, that was considered, you were blessed if you had a lot of children. In Psalms 127, verse 5, it says, how blessed is the man whose crib, he's talking about children, how blessed is the man whose crib is full of them, they will not be ashamed, they will speak of their enemies in the gate. I mean, it showed God's blessing on them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is translated maybe into our thinking, since so we have to remember, their promises and their blessings are different from ours. But even then, while children were blessings, Solomon, as so far as we know, only had one son. And so just because God promised, evidently he had daughters. I remember reading this the other day, something about Solomon's daughters. I thought, I don't even really have any. You know, you read and read and read, and read something, and you think, okay, that's not what it's not for. But anyway, even all of them did. Well, Abraham was blessed with two children. Well, he had more with Keturah later, but he was an old man before he had very many kids. And yet he had great promises from God. And so you're right, we do sometimes expect God to give us things because that's what we ask for. But God doesn't always answer our prayer like that. And sometimes we don't have to.
Obviously, Father knows best. And he probably knew that I'd be bald if I had two or three like Dylan.
Well, maybe not, because oftentimes when I hear people that have prayed for something and prayed for something and get the answer no, or get an opposite answer from what they wanted, I wonder about Job and the story of Job. What is Satan telling God about me? When I think I want something, or I'm going through a bad struggle with something, And you think, okay, could this possibly be a test of my faith? Not necessarily that this is what God would have done and Satan left him alone, and we don't know that. But I don't think Job was the only one that Satan brought up before God. There's been a lot of godly people. You know, Satan's after, but God puts parameters on what he can do. And so how are we to know that the struggle I'm having, whether it's not able to have children or what, that Satan said, yeah, you don't let them have this or you do this, whatever. We'll see how long they'll serve you. So we don't know. So our job is just to serve God no matter what the answer is or what consequences we suffer in life that we don't like or we don't understand. So it may not be that God would not have allowed something else, something different, had it not been for a test we have to endure to show Satan that, yes, we truly are what we claim to be, people who will put God first no matter what comes in our life. And that's easy to say.
It's a lot harder.
When you've got everything you want, mm-hmm. and when everything's going good, and it's smooth sailing, but then there's some, not just little bumps in the road, but you've got this mountain to climb, and you don't think you'll ever get over it. And maybe you don't ever quite get out on the other side where everything's in that wonderful valley again where things are in harmony. But we continue to serve God. And I think we have some people in this congregation who show that every day. That family, the mate they're living with, does everything in their power to discourage them from being Christians, but they continue on anyway. Or struggles that others here have faced health-wise, just other struggles that they face, they continue to go on because they mean what they say. No matter what is happening, God's not going to allow Satan to put anything in your path that you cannot overcome. And that's a great comfort also.
Any other comments?
I was going to kind of say a lot of what Pat already said, but just looking at Rachel's life, you know, here she is. She wanted her son. She wanted a son so badly. She finally gets it, and then he's sold into slavery by his brothers, and they think that he's dead. And then she finally becomes pregnant again, and she dies in childbirth. So you never know, you know, the blessings that you have. You never know. Sorry, I'm a little emotional. You never know when God's going to take them away or when maybe Satan takes them away. I don't know. I just know God, he disciplines those he loves. So he does. He lets things happen that are pretty bad in your life sometimes. But yeah, you have to get through them. Mm-hmm. And you have to realize your blessings while you have it. Like Job said, are we going to accept the blessings from God and not take the adversity?
Googling, so y'all watch out. Yes.
So done. So this lesson was saying that we can focus on having children to where we can get away from focusing on studying, you know, the word. You know, we can put all our focus on trying to have children. To where we forget about God. Is that what this lesson is saying?
No. This lesson is saying that you need to focus on God and not, because what was happening and what a lot of people sometimes happen is they put their focus on having children and not focusing on God and His love for us. And we need to focus on God and His love for us and His plan for us. And whatever happens, we love God in the good and in the bad, and we worship and serve Him.
I want to comment on what Jamie said. That is so true. You know, we may be focusing on having children, and He blesses with one, and we may get pregnant with another. We may have a miscarriage, or we may wind up dying, you know, trying to have kids like Rachel did, you know. Because when you are laying down there giving birth, it's just like, you know, it's like wow. You know, so it ain't nothing to be, you know. So sometimes maybe the women that didn't have kids, maybe, you know, it could have been, because it's plenty of kids out here that, you know, we can help raise and whatever, our nieces and nephews and whatever, because there's a lot of women out here having kids, they don't really need to be having them, you know, because they're not raising them, So you have to look at that, you know, why some don't have kids. And I have, two sisters? It's six. I have five sisters. Well, me, I make six, but two, and they're in their 40s, and they don't have any kids, and, you know, and I and one did, she did come up pregnant, but you know, she had a breakdown. I don't know if she knew she was She was pregnant out of wedlock, and it just was getting to her or whatever, but she had a nervous breakdown, and, you know, she lost the kid. But the thing is, and I don't think she was, you know, but anyway, I have, you know, two sisters that don't have, and I don't think they ain't never really wanted none, but they just have raised all their nieces and nephews and stuff. So, you know, it's, and then, you know what, some of us can have kids, but, you know, we go the way of, you know, the birth control and whatever. But, you know, because we don't want all them children. So it's just something to think about when, you know, having children. You know, my mother and dad had 12. It was 6 boys and 6 girls. Mother never worked, so daddy, you know, worked in a lumber yard, and, you know, and him and God, that we ate, and we all be. So, you know, and mother never lost none. She never had a miscarriage, and she had all 12 of us. So it's like, you know, some can do it, and he'll say, yeah, he said he'll bless, you know, multiply. So, and that's what they did back in them days, and that's what some of us doing now, but not all of us, so.
But it's also a blessing upon a blessing when you have children that are obedient.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
True.
I mean, it's one thing to have children, but then for all the effort and time and praying that you spend raising them, mm-hmm. and then try to do what's right, that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Lisa, will you close it? Okay.
Dear God in heaven, thank you for this day and for all the women that have gathered here and are interested in learning your word and how to improve our lives as women, as mothers, and as wives. We pray that we will keep all the things in this world in perspective, especially these items that Dawn has studied and are teaching to us, that we can always put you first in our lives and put these other things in their proper place. We thank you for all our blessings that we have, our health, the church family we have, and all of these spiritual blessings that Christ came and died for our sins so that we may have a life with thee after this life on earth is over. Pray that you will watch over us as we leave this place and bring us back safely tonight to again worship you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.